It's I was at I learned kind of I guess I kind of knew this in the back of my head. I'll start with okay. So years ago, we were in Mexico. This is kind of leading to just where my mind is, and we were at a bullfight, and we thought it'd be neat. And then halfway through, I realized, oh, they're going to kill the bull. I thought we're in the 20th century. Why are they doing that still? I mean, I figured it was just for show, but they did it. I thought, okay, so and that kind of shows you where you just have these perceived ideas of things have changed. You think people mature and people are better, and you know, the world thinks that. You're like, oh, you know, we're so advanced that we're no longer barbaric. And the other day, I was at a customer's house, and they are Catholic. And I said, the customer said something like, well, it's not perfect. I said, well, if it was perfect, I'd be God. And he laughed, and he said, and I said, well, you know, and only Jesus was perfect. And he said, well, and Mary. And I was like, what? I had no idea they actually believed Mary was perfect. I had no idea. They thought she never sinned. I thought, that is crazy. You guys should know by now that that is not true. But you know what? It's like they believe what they're taught so much, and it just keeps getting passed down and passed down and passed down and passed down. It's like, that's not in the Word. It's not in the Bible. Where in the Bible does it say Mary never sinned? It doesn't say. It says she was blessed among of all the women on the earth. She was blessed. It does not say Mary did not sin. And they take it even further, and they go, well, and Mary's mother, to have Mary, she had to be good too. And it's like, that's nuts. It's like, that's Jesus plus. Let's add our own religion to that. That's why religion is garbage. We don't need religion. We just need God. So it's funny to me. What God has been showing me lately is He's slow. And that's not a bad thing, because I mean, for us, I mean, especially nowadays, everything is so fast. We can reach technology at our finger, you know, any kind of information you want. You know, if I want to know how to do something, I just turn the computer on and I can learn how to do it. You know, if I want some information, if I want to find out something about somebody, I find it out. You know, it's slow. In the old days, you know, you had to mail somebody. It would take months to get there, you know, because there was a guy riding on a horse. You know, before that, it would take a year or whatever. You know, like when people came to the New World, they had to wait for a boat to come across. You know, it's just, you know, we've gotten so accustomed to everything being fast, and God is slow. But He's slow in lots of things. One thing He's slow in is anger. That's good. We can. It's funny, as a parent, your child, you get to a breaking point, but they do wrong and they do wrong and do wrong and do wrong, and all of a sudden, finally, you're like, "All right, that's my point. That's it. Spanking." And even then, I don't want to give her a spanking. I'm like, I'm going to give you a spanking. And in my mind, I'm like, please just stop being bad. And then she does it again. You're like, all right, I'm telling you. And then, by the third time, fifth or tenth time, I'm like, all right, let's do it. Spanking, it's not sinking in. So, but that's good. God is that way. He doesn't want to punish us. He's slow to anger. But sometimes we need it because we just keep pressing. We just keep pressing and pressing. And He's like, you're not getting this. It's so funny through, you think that we'll get stuff. And even the 12 guys that were around Jesus would say something. And afterwards in private, they'd be like, Jesus, what did that mean? It's like, they didn't want to say it in front of everybody. Hey, we're His disciples. Jesus chose us. And it's like, they didn't even get it. It's like, you have to have a relationship with the Almighty God to get it. And that, God loves to tell us things, but you got to slow down. You got to get at His speed. Because, I mean, like, at any given time, I could be thinking about 30 different things, and that's stupid. Because then I'm not doing anything well. That's why God does things slowly, because it gets done right. He takes His time. He's very deliberate. He knows what's going on. I mean, He already knows. He has an infinite amount of time, so it doesn't matter to Him. But He, it's good. But you know who else is slow? Is the devil. The devil is he's devious, and he bides his time. I was thinking this, and then Soren and I were talking about it as well. It's interesting. The devil will take his time to do things. He doesn't just jump up in front of you and go, hey, this is good, and you see it, and you go, oh, that's bad. He'll slowly, incrementally put things in front of you until, even if it's generations, decades, hundreds of years, until you finally, you've broken down all those barriers and sin doesn't look like sin anymore. It looks like gospel. You know, the devil can do that. He's got time. He's got plenty of time. Well, he doesn't. His time has definitely got an end. But, so we have to be careful because I've said this before, so I noticed this when I was a kid. It has to do with homosexuality. When I was a kid, you'd watch TV. TV is awful because it will dilute you. You see it. If you don't know the truth, if you know the truth, you're good, you know. But it can dilute you. Because when I was a young kid, if they had a character on the show that was a homosexual, it was horrible. Oh, that's an awful character. And then it was just kind of odd. And then it was funny. And now it's common. What they intentionally did that to break down. Now you didn't even think about it. Now we're just mad at, you know, the transgender people. Ah, we don't like transgender, but you don't even talk about homosexual. You know, it's like, because we're like, well, we got to be nice to them. You know, you should be nice to them. You're Christians. You should be nice to everybody because we don't worry about people's sin. But what I'm saying is you don't put up with their junk. You don't say, you know, it's neat right now in the country. The country has finally started pushing back because they pushed so far. And we've said, hey, the Christians started this country so that we could worship God. And we said, even if you don't worship God, you can come in too and do your weird junk. We don't like it. Keep it to yourself. Whatever. But we're here because we want to worship God and we don't want anybody stopping us. But because we don't want anybody stopping us, we're not going to make rules to stop you either. Which that's always a scary thing because people say, well, we need to make a law to stop that. Yeah, well, if there's a good person in power, that may be a good law. But if there's a bad person in power, they can take that law and turn it against you. And they can say, well, yeah, now you can't worship God because, you know. So you have to be careful. So you have to allow people to be bad so that you can be good. But that's just it. It's cool because if we're allowed to speak our mind, then they can see our peace and our joy. And they can see the truth. And we'll be a witness to them. Because they're like, yeah, I'm debauching myself every day. And I realize you're not. And you're happy. And I'm not. I'm miserable. Because you know those people are. You can see it on their face. They're out having fun and having a good time, and yet they're not. You can see it. You can see it in their heart. You can see it, you know, because they keep seeking. They keep going. It keeps getting further. It keeps getting more deprived because they can't find their peace. They can't find their joy. They can't find what they're looking for because they're looking for God. They don't know it. I mean, that was the whole point. God made man, and he made man to fellowship with God, and man sinned. And so then we couldn't be in fellowship with God because we sinned. You can still talk to God. I'm just saying you don't have the intimate relationship with God because there's sin. And God can't be around sin because he's perfect. Unlike Mary, who was not perfect. But you know what? God used her. So that's awesome. God uses people who are, you know, have sinned. And that's good because if that were not the case, nobody would ever get used. So what's fun about God taking his time is that we don't get passed up because it's amazing how many times God has told me to do something and told me to do something and told me to do something and I kept procrastinating and I finally did it. But if God were quick, I would have lost it. I would have missed the boat. Because I know God uses my procrastination to his benefit. Because most people say, well, that's terrible. And it is terrible. It is terrible. But God still uses it. He uses our faults to his benefit. Because he knows who I am. And he knows what I'm going to do. And so he goes, and he made me exactly who I am. He made me at the time he made me. He made me, you know, he gave me the father he gave me and the mother that I have. You know, you can't, when you're born, you can only have been born to those parents at that time. That's why life is so precious. Because, you know, people say, well, you could have been born later. No, you could not have been born later. At that particular time, when that thing happened and all that, it had to be right then, that split second with all the parts that it had to be right there. You could have only been born then. And God knew it. And you're precious to Him. That's why life is so precious. It's not just flippant. But, you know, the people try to justify their sin to make themselves feel better. It's stupid. It's like, if you're going to sin. Enjoy it. God's not stopping you from sinning. He's telling you there's probably going to be consequences. The Bible says, you sin, there's going to be consequences. And doesn't even mean spiritual consequences. He means worldly consequences. You know, you go drinking all the time, sooner or later your liver's going to give out. You know, that's just a worldly consequence. That's not God judging you. That's just common sense. So God wants us to slow down and just be at peace and just listen to Him. He's got so much. It's so funny how I'm always so just doing so many things. And then when I get quiet and I spend time with God, He just talks to me. And it's obvious. And it's, you know, it's like, oh, that was God. And then there's confirmation. And it's like, oh, that was God. Holy mackerel. You know, because sometimes you wonder, was that just me in my own head? But you know, God will give you a word, and then you'll talk to somebody else who's a believer, and He's telling them the same thing. That's like, that's not coincidence. That's God. That's God telling them the exact same thing. Because I'm not special. People go, I heard from God. And I'm like, and that's not bragging, because I'm an idiot. I just know that God is God, and He loves me. And He said, hey, if you let me use you, I will. And I go, why? I'm not anything special. And He goes, yeah, I just need you to be usable. I'm like, go for it. Use me. It's exciting. I mean, why wouldn't you want God to use you to do amazing things? It's like, I mean, what am I going to do with my life? If I take my life, I say this all the time, but if I use my life, I just waste it. I'm like, I might as well do something important. All right, I'm going to do something important. All right, God, I'm going to do nothing and you do it. And then God does. And that's what blows my mind. It's like, oh, you did exactly what you said. I mean, why? He's God. Of course He's going to do exactly what He said He would do. He just needs you to stop. Stop being you and just let Him work through you. And that's hard. Because, I mean, we have stuff on, we have things that are always weighing on us. You know, we got to work and we got to, you know, when you, it's funny. You know, you want a child and you want a child and you want a child and you get a child and you're like, yeah, this child is tiring. That's good. That's because I'm putting things, other things, and saying those are important. It's not. She's what's important. We're what's important to God. And God takes His time with us, and He enjoys us. He's, you know, you're going to miss the times if you're annoyed at it. You're going to miss the times, even though the child may be doing something you want, but you're going to miss that later. You're like, man, I wish they were still little again. I mean, Gabby is so tall. She's reading. Oh my gosh, she's reading. You walk in and you hear your four-year-old reading a book with mom, like not as in mom's reading, as in she's reading. I'm like, how did you get from just knowing your ABCs to reading? I mean, it's just crazy. Yeah. Thank you, Margaret. But it's like, it's fun because you see it click and now she's excited and she wants to read every day. She's like, what new words can I learn? And so now a whole new world is open to her. She can read. You know, that's good. But God is like that with us. It's just, He doesn't force, you know, He doesn't say, you're one, you should be reading. No, He just takes His time and He says, let's go, let's learn the alphabet. All right, let's go spend some time in the world and we'll just learn about bugs and sharks and things. And then when you get ready, then when He knows you're ready, He gives you something else. Here, let's start reading. And it opens up a whole new world and you get to learn about God. That's the thing that's exciting about God is, I always think, how can you learn more about God? How could there be anything new? And there's always something new. Even in you could read the Bible over and over and over again. You're like, I've read it. There's no way I'm getting anything new out of that. I've already read it. And you get thousands of new things out of it. You're like, how did I not see that before? Because you weren't where you needed to be. God got you to a point, and He was like, hey, I'm going to show you something new. And you're like, man, that's awesome. I don't know if I said this last week or whatever, or a couple weeks ago. It's like, I'm not more mature, I'm more dead. You got to be dead. Because when you're dead, then you can be usable. mature people are proud. Hey, I'm mature. I'm better at this. You know, it's fun. You know, it's good. It's good to know who to go to when you have a problem. I called Luke this week. I said, Luke Havers, I said, I got an electrical problem. I said, it makes absolutely no sense. And I'd called several people, and he was actually the third one to call me back, and he was the only one that actually had the answer. The others got, they're like, well, we don't know. I'm like, oh, well, that wasn't helpful. And he said, well, try this and this and this. I'm like, it worked. It's exactly what he knew. It's good. That's God. God knows the answer. You just got to call him and ask, God, what's the answer to this? You know, so I was saying to Holly, who cares what the world's going on around you? What does God say? What does God say? Because then all the worries and the cares and the emotions, it's all taken, because it doesn't matter. It's like, if God said it, it's it. God said, you and Mary are going to have a child one day. And it was 16 years. And you're like, God, are you going to keep that promise? You know, and then it happened. But you know what? I decided early on that God said it. God gave me a dream. He gave me a word. He said it. I'm going to stand on it. I'm not going to worry about it. Because, you know, when you worry, what the Bible says, can you add 1 minute to your life by worrying? And the answer is no. I always tell that to Mary. If you worry, is it going to change the outcome? No. It doesn't change the outcome. The outcome is going to be the outcome whether you're joyful or whether you're not. I was talking to a friend of mine that I work with, and we were talking about how, you know, happiness, this has actually come up a lot lately, happiness is circumstantial, but joy is permanent. You can be happy based on if things are going well. And I said, when does everything always go well? And we're like, never. It never always goes well. Pretty much it's always falling apart. But you're full of joy. Why? Because God's in control. And He'll take all those. Remember when the Bible says that when Satan does something, God will turn it to awesome. So it's like, let Satan do it. It's like, come on, Satan, bring it. The more you mess things up, God's going to turn it to a blessing for me. So come on, keep messing. I'd like some more blessing. So it's good. This world is tough. It's not easy. It'll never get easy. I think we'll get to a point in our life where things are just going to get easy and you can just relax and just have a good time. It's not. This life is going to be tough. In this world, you're going to have trouble. It should have said, in this world, you'll always have trouble every day, all the time. That would have been a little more, you know, because in this world, you'll have trouble. It just seems like, well, every once in a while. No, how about like every day? And then you just run to God. God, will you take care of this? And He goes, yeah. I'm like, good, I'm going to go do something else. You take care of that trouble. He goes, okay, no problem. You know, He wants to take care of all your troubles. He said, said, hey, I got a burden and you got a burden. I've already actually done my burden. How about you take mine and I'll take all of yours? Because mine's already complete. I already finished the job. And it's like, yeah, that's a good deal. I'll take your burden, which is already done. So it's like, I don't even do anything. And then you take mine and I can watch what you do with it. And He does, and He'll fix it right in front of you. And you didn't even, you're like, I could have never come up with that in a million years. I could never have done it that way. And it was just, that was so neat. So it's good. Hallelujah. All right. John chapter 14, after all that. John chapter 14. Remember last week Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. I'm here because Halverson is watching his grandkids. And Raul's preaching for me in Dallas. So I got to do 2 weeks in Fort Worth. It's awesome. So I hope you guys like hearing me preach. You don't have to tell me. If you don't, just don't say anything. You guys are a blessing. Do not let your heart be troubled. What does that mean? That's awesome. Don't let your heart be troubled. Yeah, because we can do that. We like to do it. It just seems right. Mary hasn't done this in a while, but she would say, everything's going well. Something bad's about to happen. It's like, enjoy the fact that everything's going right. That's awesome. Just, who cares? So, it's like, the devil will do that. Because remember, he's the deceiver. He's the long game. He'll just pick at you here and there and there and there. He wants you to be unusable. If you're worried about this world, you're unusable. If you're trusting in God, then you're dying and you're usable. Because you're not worried about this world. You're not worried about all the cares of this world. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God and believe also in me. That's awesome. So if you believe God, believe Jesus. So we do that. You know, we're all here because we believe in God and we believe Jesus. We know that Mary was a sinner. We used her anyway. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. So that's the Greek. So in the King James it says many mansions. And so I'm like, well, if many dwellings, is that like a giant hotel? Or does that, yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because I always think, did you guys ever do that? You always go, God, if you're building me a mansion, this is what I want. Did you guys ever do that? You're like, I'd actually like a little small cabin down by the river, or, you know, a house on the beach. Can I have a couple? Can I have them in different places? Like one up in the mountains, one down by the ocean. A giant one. You know, but I always thought, you know, if you have a giant mansion and you're all by yourself, how that can't be any fun. I mean, golly, that'd be boring. You know, it'd take you forever to get from one end of the house to the other. So, you know, it's like, that's things you think about when you're young. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, but if it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. Man, he came to earth. He was a carpenter. He's going up to heaven. He's going to be a carpenter again. You know, wood, totally side topic. Wood is amazing. I don't know if you guys understand. It's like God created a tree that can be turned into wood that you can build things with, and it's so strong. It's ridiculous. You can build houses out of it and buildings out of it. It's incredible. You know, the way, if you put two things together with wood glue, it's stronger than nails. You don't understand that. You know why that is? Because the way the vessels in the wood work, so when the tree is a tree, it has these little tiny vessels and the food and the water go up and down that. And then, so when you cut down the tree and you dry it and you turn it into wood and you glue it together, the glue goes into those vessels and it's glued together. And that joint is actually stronger than putting nails in it. Because it's going back to, it's wild. God created that. Man didn't come up with that. God created that. How is that even possible? That's wild. He is so imaginative, and he just, you know, he designed this whole world for us to do things with. So, it's funny. Weird things pop up on my internet feed, whatever, and something, there's this new thing called electroculture that's all of a sudden is taking the rage, and it's about you wrap a copper wire around a stick and you stick it in the ground. And it's funny because you see all the gamut of people. There's like people who are like scientifically minded, and they're like, well, it takes electricity out of the air and somehow ionizes and does this to the soil, and the insects don't like it, so they go away, and it stimulates this in the plants. And there's other people who are like, oh, and the Mother Earth has showed us her energy. And you're like, really? How could, I mean, it's like, how? How can you, I mean, it's these weirdos that always attach things to God. It's like, why can you not just say God did that? Man, it's so much easier than having to come up with some weird thing you can't attach anything to. It's just imaginary. Anyway, it's funny. I was listening to this guy that I normally like to listen to. I can't listen to him all the time because he says things and it makes me want to go do things politically or whatever. You know, just it's like those people are doing wrong, and I have to remember, God's in control. Let it all go. But he was talking about the common law, and it's interesting because he says you have to understand the law, because you have to understand the law. And he goes, you know, they'll say things like, that's artificial, and you think artificial is fake. And you're like, no, it's just like, it's not the rock. There's a, you know, there's thing that this is it. And it can't be, and it says, shall do, which shall doesn't mean you have to in the law. It just means you can do that. But will do means you have to. You know, he's like, you have to understand the way it's written. And that's just the way that God's word is. You have to understand. Some things there's like, that's concrete, and some things it's a little more, well, nothing's movable in God's word. But you have to understand the words. You have to go back to the beginning. What does the word mean? Because words get polluted over time. You know, like, I always wanted to make a t-shirt that said, gay means happy and queer means weird. I have another one that's got a rainbow on it that says, this is a promise, not a persuasion. That's another good t-shirt. The man takes words and he changes the meaning. And the funny thing is, the bad people will take nice words and pollute the meaning. And you're like, well, I can't say anything about it. That's a nice word. It means nice things. It means, you know, Black Lives Matter. Yeah, I agree with that. That sounds nice. It sounds good. But that's not their intention. That's not their intention is to enslave you. That's what that word means. It doesn't mean we care about black people. It means we want you to shut up. That's what that means. You have to be careful because the devil takes what looks like it's good. He takes good and he pollutes it. We do believe that all black lives matter. We believe that. But we believe it. But there is no race. You can't say, well, he's racist. No, because we're all one race. We're all the human race. We all came from Adam and Eve, you know, and then Noah and the Ark. So we're either of Ham, Shem, or Japheth. But we all came from Noah. So that's one race. There isn't multiple races. God was just creative. He loves uniqueness. So he made people with more melanin in their skin, and he made people with less melanin in their skin because it's beautiful. And the world wants to turn that into evil. Well, that person's different than me. No, they're not. They still have blood and hearts and lungs and eyes and ears. They still have a mind. They have feet and hands, and we're exactly the same. Just have different colors of skin. It's beautiful. I am going to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I am coming again and will receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Man. So, because you would be afraid. I mean, if Jesus left, you're like, oh, is he coming back? Because, I mean, they don't even know that yet. They don't know, hey, he's going to just go away. But then he's telling them that. They're not getting it. He's like, I'm going to go to a place and you can't come with me. And they're like, wait, remember Peter said that? How can I not come with you? Jesus is like, you can't come with me. So, but I'm coming back. And then when I come back, I'm going to take you back with me this time. Thomas said to him, am I there yet? Oh, I'm coming again and will receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. And they don't. He said that and they don't. But they do because they know God. If you talk to God, God, you know, you just know. It's weird how kids do things. And you're like, how do they know? It's like, how do they know? It's like that joke I told my daughter. I said, how do you know the ocean's friendly? She said, because it waves. I've never told her that joke. How does she know? Kids hear, I know, because kids don't have all the junk that adults have in their head. I think they can hear from God so much easier. Because they know, here's God, and God loves me. Because you tell them, hey, Gabby, this is God. And he loves you. And that's all she knows. She doesn't have all this other conflicting junk in her head. So God can tell her stuff. She says things and I'm just blown away. I'm like, there's no way. God has to be talking to you. You can't know stuff like that. You know, that's why the Bible says, be like little children. Little children, they don't worry because their parents are taking care of them. They don't have all this junk in their head because they're trying to be smart. They just love life. You know, it's good to be like little children. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you go. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. There you go. There's the way. Jesus said, I'm the way. Easy enough. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's awesome. So, Jesus is the way. And so it's like, why, as a human being, if someone said to me, you could go to heaven or hell, all you have to do is accept Jesus, even if I didn't mean it, I would go, yeah, I'd take Jesus. Because why would you want to go to hell? I mean, it sounds so cheap, but it's like, why wouldn't you? I mean, like that the human being is, we want it easy. We don't want things to be hard. You know, we want the Garden of Eden. We want to just wake up every day and pet the cats and see the lions and the giraffes walking around and pick some fruit off the tree and it'd just be awesome. Just spend some time with God in the afternoon, which is what God's original intention was. You know, we messed it up. And it's been 6,000 years. It's been hard. But who, you know, God is slow. But he's got his plan, and it's not slow. It's perfect. He wants as many people as possible to be his bride. So he's taking his time. I mean, what if he had come 1,000 years ago? You would have never gotten to go to heaven. You would have never gotten the chance. So it's good that he's slow. We all get a chance. You know, I always think, when's the cutoff point? I don't know if you guys ever thought of that as a kid. How do you know? When's the cutoff point, God? How do you know when the cutoff point is? And you go, all right, no more people are going to be born because I don't, you know, heaven is full. You know, and that's a dumb thought. It's a kid thought. But it's like, where's the point? So I'm glad that he waited, at least until now. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. And so, it's good. Because, remember, Jesus is God. Not according to Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons. He's a God. No, Jesus is God. In the beginning, Bereshit bara Elohim. That's some of the only Hebrew I know, because my dad said it a gajillion times. In the beginning, God. Not God singular, God plural. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So if you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. And remember, Jesus, where is Jesus now? Here, in our hearts. So, that's why we get to talk to God, personally. I mean, it's like you know, you go to a king or queen and you can't just go in and talk to them. Can't just walk in. But we can just walk into the presence and just start talking to God. The guy that created the entire universe knows everything, and we don't even have to be formal. Father, may I come in? No, you just run in. God, I'm here. He's like, hey, it's good to see you. I love you. Awesome. Just run in. Be a child. He loves it. He loves you. He is excited about you. Personally, every one of you. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be enough for us. Jesus said to him, am I so long a time with you, and you have not known me, Philip? He just said, literally, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Philip was like, well, show us the Father. And he's like, Philip, you're not getting it. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. My mom, when she was teaching me homeschool, just think, David, just think. It's in there. It's not in there, Mom. I don't know. It's like, he's like, I mean, it was like just the previous sentence. I just told you, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I mean, that's a good line for a movie. I mean, I can just see somebody say it over and over again. I just said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And that's the same thing, because Jesus is in us. And so what are we? We are a light to the world. So Jesus is in us. So if people can see us, they can see the Father. How? Because Jesus is living in us. His light is in us. It's not us. We're not anything special. We're just we're a vessel that's being used by God. But when you love somebody, even though they're a jerk to you, they go, well, that's not normal. How can you do that? They're like, because I have Jesus in me. And God the Father loves you, and if God the Father loves you and Jesus is in me, then I love you. Even though you don't deserve love from a human standpoint, I'm going to love you anyways. You need it. You need it way more than I do because I already have all the love I can handle. God gives me love every day. Every day I deserve death, and I don't die. So I can easily love you even though you're being a jerk to me. And it doesn't even cost me anything. Because God gave me everything I need. I didn't have to expend anything. God just gave it all to me and said, hey, can you pass this out? I'd love to. Because what's my cup doing? It overflows. God has given me so much, I can't even use it all myself. I don't, you know, there was the guy with all the talents. You know, he gave guy some medium and then he gave guy a little bit, and the one guy didn't share any of it. He didn't do anything with it. God gives us so much that we can't even handle it. So just give it away. Here's some. You can have some of this. God will give me more. He'll continue to fill my cup. Uh, The one seeing me has seen the Father, and now do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father? And the Father is in me. The words which I speak to you, I do not speak from myself, but the Father who abides in me, He does the works. That's why you got to be dead. If you're dead, that means you're not interested in you. You're not interested in what blesses you, what things that are going to make you happy. You're just interested in what God... Because the thing is God said, hey, seek first the kingdoms and all that stuff that you want. I can give it to you. That's not a big deal to me. But just allow me to do what I need to do through you. I'll take care of everything else. And that's so hard because you're like, you go, God, I don't know if I trust you enough to do that. And that's a very human thing. To go, I think I need to do some of this for myself because I know what I want. And it's like, how would God not know what you want? If you know what's in your head, God obviously knows what's in your head. You know, He knows what's best for you. And oftentimes we want something and God has something even better. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if not, believe me because of the works themselves. It's like I'm telling you, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you don't believe me, I mean, miracles, you know, Jesus was doing things, you know, that's, you know, it's like, it's like the Israelites. God parted the Red Sea, gave them manna. They had to eat manna for 40 years. That would have probably gotten boring. I probably would have complained too. Oh God, I'm kind of bored of this manna and the quail on Sundays. So, actually, it probably was Saturday for them. But anyway, it's like, there's a good song, Keith Green. It's called the Manna Song. My favorite one is Manana Bread. It's, you know, instead of banana bread, it's manna bread. So we're talking about all the different things you can make from manna. And that right there is a totally side topic, but God told him, hey, don't save it. Trust in me every day. I'll give you everything you need every day. So eat what you need for today. Chuck it. I'll provide for you again tomorrow. And some people saved it and it went moldy. And he's like, hey, I told you, I'll provide you for you tomorrow. You don't have to provide for yourself every day. That makes it so much easier when you realize that God's going to take care of you every day. The Bible says, you know, if I'll take care of the flowers and the birds, why would I not take care of you? Are you not more precious than the flowers and the birds? So indeed, I tell you truly that he that believes in me, the works which I do, that one shall do also. And greater than these will he do, because I go to my Father. That's awesome. I don't know why we don't see that nowadays. It happens some. It probably happens a lot more in third world countries and stuff, because they believe in all that kind of stuff. You know, a lot of those places believe in witchcraft and all that kind of weird things, and so they're not opposed to the idea of God doing supernatural stuff. I think when we expect God to do supernatural stuff, it's for the wrong reasons. It's for our own comfort and benefit. And it's like, no, I mean, the whole point is to get people to know God. And it's good. I mean, it's good to be healed by God. God said He would do it. He said, you ask anything in my name. So, I go to my Father, and whatsoever you ask in my name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And you know the cool thing about that? Is Jesus is in us to will and to do. So He's keeping the commandments for us. That's awesome, because we can't do it. We can't do it ourselves. Let's see. I got something on my phone. God never asks for anything easy except for salvation. Love your neighbor. That's hard to do. Love your enemy. That's even harder to do. Work by the sweat of your brow. That's hard. Be patient. That's hard. Seek me. That's hard. These things all, you know, it's like, ah! The thing is once you're saved, He promises to do all those through you. So it's not even hard. He said, it's not even a burden. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's like, it's awesome. Everything we think is hard is not, because He's doing it. Once you surrender, He's doing it. And I will petition the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him nor know Him. But you know Him, for He abides with you and shall be in you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. It's, you know, what's so interesting is when I was young, the Holy Spirit was so it was so insignificant to me. But as an adult, man, it's everything. The Holy Spirit is everything. It's like He's in us. He's Comforter. He's wisdom. He's our, you know, you talk to Him. It's like, golly. But I don't know if it's where I went to school at and they just downplay it. I don't know. Hallelujah. I will not leave you orphans. I am coming to you yet a little while, and the world no longer sees me, but you see me because I live, and you also live, that in the day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And that has my commandments, that has my commandments and keeps them. It is that who loves me, and the one who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I shall love him and will reveal myself to him. Now immediately that could scare you. You go, whoa, God, I have not kept your commandments. But remember, my dad would say, they're not commandments, they're promises. Jesus is keeping them. Jesus kept them. I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it. Jesus fulfilled the commandments. And remember, he just said in the previous verse, I'm in my Father, and my Father is in me, and you're in me, and I'm in you. Awesome. But Jesus did it. Jesus kept all the commandments for us, because we can't do it. And that doesn't seem right. It seems wrong. It seems like, no, you said keep your commandments. And he said, no, I'm in you. And I kept the commandments. You're like, yeah, that's cheating. He goes, exactly. A parent will cheat for their child because a parent wants to bless their, they want everything the best for their child. They'll do things that they shouldn't do for their child. God doesn't have to, God is God. But I mean, God's like, hey, I am in you and you're in me. So you kept the commandments. You're like, no. And he's like, yeah. I was talking to a guy yesterday and it was about accepting gifts that you don't deserve. That was so hard for me. When I got married to Mary, her parents were very generous to me, and I hated it. They would give me gifts, and they'd be extravagant, and I hated it. And God said to me, if I want to bless you, I will bless you, and I'll bless you however I want to do it. Stop being, you know, feeling unworthy to receive. I can do whatever I want. I'm God. And I've done this. And I was like, okay. So it's not Mary's parents. It's God that's blessing me. Okay, good. But it's like, we have to understand. We're not worthy to receive God's gifts, but we are. Because God is in us. He loves us. We're precious to Him. We're His children. Parents bless their kids, even if they're bad. Gabby can do something wrong, and I'll spank her for it. And then 20 minutes later, I'll go out and get her a new stuffed animal. She didn't deserve it, but I'll do it anyways. Why? Because I love her. I want her to be happy. She's got a gajillion sharks, so don't ever buy her any stuffed sharks. Parents want their kids to be happy. We're God's kids. Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what has happened that you are about to reveal yourself to us and not to all the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and will make a dwelling place in him. And the one who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but of the Father who sent me. I have spoken these things to you, abiding with you, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and shall remind you of all things that I have said to you. That's good, because we're going to easily forget. But the Holy Spirit reminds us. Isn't it fun how you'll be somewhere and you have a problem and then the Holy Spirit will give you the answer? You guys know that? It's like, you know, I can't remember. It was last time I was sick and I was just so angry at God. I'm like, God, you could just heal me. You're God. You're the God of the Creator. Just heal me. I don't want to be sick. This is stupid. That's the holiday. That's the worst. It's when it's Christmas time and I get sick and I get so angry because I'm like, I actually have 2 weeks off where I don't have to do anything and I'm sick and this is wrong. And then it's like, God reminds you, oh, count it all joy. And then you just go, you're right, God. Thank you for reminding me. That's the Holy Spirit just reminding you. Count it all joy. Who cares? What's God? What can God do? You know, sometimes we get sick because God's like, you need to slow down. And you're like, no, I got to work. And God's like, you need to slow down. And then you get sick. And you're like, well, I guess I got to slow down. So it's like God blesses us even in the garbage, even when we're sick. We can be blessed. He shall teach you all things and shall remind you of all things that I have said to you. I leave peace to you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So let not your heart be troubled. You know, it's the world gives wanting, and Jesus gives just to give. You know, you can always tell whether it was from God or not. If you give something to somebody and you don't expect anything in return, you know that of God. But if you give something to somebody and you want something in return, thanks, just even thanks, then that was you being selfish. You know? So that's a good barometer. I mean, God will use your junk anyways. Even if you're being selfish, God will still use it to bless that other person. But I'm just saying, a good barometer is if you do something and you're not wanting anything from it, that's awesome. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be timid. You heard that I said to you, I am going away, and I am coming again to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced that I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it occurs, that when it shall occur, you may believe. So I want that Father is greater than I doesn't mean he's not equal to God. That has to do with order of authority. It's like the husband, the wife, and the children. You know, it's not talking about Jesus isn't God. It's talking about, because there's some religions that'll say, well, right there it just says that Jesus isn't equal to God. And it's just saying, you know, here's the general, here's the colonel, here's the lieutenant, you know, whatever. I shall no longer speak many things with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, even as the Father commanded me, so I do, and I rise up. Let us go from here. Remember, God, he takes his time doing stuff, and it's for a purpose, and it's hard for us because we like, you know, we like things to happen immediately. So we need to learn to slow down. And then, you know, the human word is slow down and enjoy the ride, or slow down and smell the roses. Well, that's a good saying anyways. Just slow down. If you slow down and you talk to God, he'll talk back. He's already people say, well, I never hear God. I'm like, well, he's talking. He's never not talking to you. You got so many things in your head that are louder that you're not hearing him. So that's why you gotta slow down and get quiet. Cut things out of your life, you know, that are taking God's place. I'm not saying that because I'm prideful, because there's things in my life that I could probably still cut out. I'm like, God, we've cut out quite a bit. He's like, there's still more. I'm like, really? Yeah. Because it's things you hold on to and you think, well, I got, you know, and you justify it. Isn't that fun how we can justify things? justify anything. Just, well, you know, it's just, you know, it's, it allows me to relax. It allows me to clear my mind, or, you know, I love, my favorite are Christian thing. Christians do things and they justify things Christianly. Probably not a real word, but it's like gossip. You know, they're like, well, we need to pray for this person, so let's tell all their sins so that we can pray for them. It's like, what? That's funny. That's funny to me. It's like, if you're going to sin, just sin. Then ask God for forgiveness. So, hallelujah. Be slow. Be slow with God. It's not important. You know, we're here. Remember, we're just here for a short time, and then there's all of eternity. That's where, you know, we get to spend time with God forever and be in His presence, and it's going to be awesome. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you wrote down your word to give us wisdom and strength, and we wouldn't have to feel afraid that, did we hear you? It says everything we need to know so that we can get to know you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you that, Jesus, that you obeyed the Father. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that came to us as a comforter and someone who imparts wisdom to us and reminds us of everything that Jesus said to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us have a wonderful day and edifying conversation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hallelujah. You guys have an awesome day. If you still got a dad here alive, even if you hate him, go tell him you love him. If you don't, thank God for the father you have. I thank God.